Welcome to the Exec MBA podcast. I'm your host, Brett Twitty, and you are listening to a new episode. On this episode of the podcast, I'm excited to share my recent conversation with Colin Thomas. Colin is a second-year student in our Executive MBA class of 2022, and he's also an entrepreneur. Colin and I recently connected via Zoom to talk more about his background, how he decided to pursue an MBA, how things are going with his real estate business, and so much more. I think you're really going to enjoy this conversation. So without further ado, here's my interview with Colin Thomas. Colin, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you, Brett. Good to see you.
Good to see you. Absolutely. Man, you are flying through the program, second year. How does it feel?
Feels pretty good, actually. Sort of counting down until May. But I'm also, I think this is almost more of the fun part, you know, with all the electives and what we sort of seek out and choose. Not that the core curriculum isn't great, but it's fun to sort of finally be into those electives and learning about the things that really interest you.
Yeah, I mean, everybody takes the core curriculum and then you get to choose your classes. And there's 12 elective courses that students can take during the Executive MBA. Choose from a much broader menu, but you will take 12 electives here as an Executive MBA student. And so I can imagine that's fun to set the classes that you're taking. How are things going generally? You doing all right?
Yeah, I'm doing really well. There's always crazy circumstances, pandemics, wars. But in terms of the things that I try to focus on day to day, those things are going as well as they can. So I'm happy about that. Business is going well. School is going well. I'm learning a lot. Building relationships. So that part is great.
Well, you're right. You can't change the externalities, you know, all the other things going on in the world right now. We're in the midst of a pandemic. There's always something. But I'm sure it's nice to have school, you know, a group of people to learn with, to get to know. It probably makes this time, you know, you feel productive. In addition to all the things going on at work, you're learning, you're growing, you're developing.
Oh yeah. I think, to have this program during the pandemic, I mean, when you're sort of, you can't do a lot of the things externally that you might've done anyway. So it's maybe the best time potentially in history to sort of look at the silver lining of the pandemic to be getting an MBA because, you know, you had sort of some different type of time on your hands and how are you going to use that time? And I think, you know, for me and for a lot of my classmates, we've had an opportunity to really focus our energy into building new skills, learning new things, meeting new people at a time when a lot of people didn't have those opportunities. So I'm grateful for that.
Well, let's talk a little bit more about you and your story and your background. So tell us a little bit more about who you are and your career to this point.
Well, I'm from a small town in southwestern Virginia. It's less than 25,000 people. I'm one of five. So a big family, and I love my family. And family's a big focus for me. Spirituality is a focus. A daily reminder that I try to give myself. You struggle with it, but you work towards it. Integrity is a focus, trying to make sure that I always do what I say I'm going to do and, you know, keep commitments. I'm an extremely competitive person. You don't want to play Monopoly with me. I started an argument this summer over a spike ball game with my brother-in-law and cousin, and my girlfriend was embarrassed. My dad was furious, but I always want to win. I want my team to win. And my business, you know, my investors, any of the people who invest their hard-earned dollars with me, they're on my team, and I fight for them. It's a competitive thing for me, you know. So I do it with that passion. And in terms of what I do, I'm a real estate developer. I guess I call myself a developer. I'm really doing mostly renovations, acquisition, renovation, rehabs. At this point, you know, I've worked on ground up projects in the past, but, you know, at this earlier stage in my business, I'm sort of working to build up a portfolio so that eventually we can work on more ground up projects, which take a little bit more time and patience and resources. But anyway, yeah, I mean, that's a little bit about me and a little bit about my business. I'm sure we'll get into more of it. And prior to that, just for people who are interested, I worked for two real estate developers. We built ground up projects. We did 36 units in Capitol Hill, 10 units right beside that. We had another 15 unit building on Capitol Hill. We had two strip centers we re-entitled. I think we could build approximately 400,000 square feet on each of those sites by the end of it through a long, complicated legislative process in DC called the Comprehensive Plan. But we had success with that. Eventually, I came to my two old bosses with a proposal that I would finish up working with them at the end of last year, really, and start my own company. And I think they knew that was coming one day. And they were fantastic about it. Situations like that don't always go over well. And I've seen other people who have tried to do the same thing and it didn't go over that well. But I really appreciated them and was grateful for everything that they had taught me. And we're actually still very close. They're both on my board of advisors for my new company. And we talk regularly. And frankly, I imagine I'll be working with them on at least one project soon in the future. So I'm lucky to have a lot of great people on my team. And they were also very encouraging and helpful about Darden and thought it was a great decision for me. And, my old boss told me he thought that was one of the smartest decisions I'd made in my career. So, you know, I just appreciate them for all the support that they gave me. And, that's sort of where we are now.
How did you get interested in real estate? There's many paths that someone can pursue in their life. What about real estate interested you?
So my dad was a small town attorney and I didn't really know anything else. I didn't know anything about business and I was looking for summer internships and, I was a history major and a political theory major at UVA and I thought I would be an attorney too. And I needed a summer internship. So I called my cousin up and he was a real estate appraiser in downtown New Orleans. And I was working for him and appraising land where developers after Katrina and after 2008, land values had been at rock bottom in New Orleans. And people were moving back into the city. This was maybe 2012. And they were re-entitling this land and building ground-up projects. And I really enjoyed how connected they were with the city. They were really shaping the city and solving a lot of the problems. You read in the papers all the time, there's affordable housing crisis, especially in DC. I think you'll read about it in every newspaper. And they're really working with the city. They have a little bit of everything. They have to be jack of all trades. And I also saw that they were making some pretty good money. So I, between all of those things, I said, hey, look, this is something I could be interested in. So I went back to Charlottesville. I was a UVA undergraduate and I actually started working at CBRE downtown in Charlottesville on the downtown mall while I was a senior, part-time while I was in school. And eventually I got a job in DC working for a real estate investment trust in downtown. That sort of led me. I always knew that I wanted to be in development and be a developer from sort of my early experience. But obviously, it's to learn the skills to be able to do that. I think you have to go through incremental growth and steps. You can't really take shortcuts. So you gotta start. I did some property management working for CBRE and some leasing. And then, I was a financial analyst and I did that. And then I was managing construction sites, so I had to do a little bit of it all and learn a little bit of it all. And it wasn't always pretty, but, and it's still not pretty all the time. I'm working on small projects, and you really gotta work your way through, but, it's a rewarding process, at the end of the day.
How do you decide to take that leap to launch your own thing? You mentioned that the advisors that you have, they kind of knew that it was likely to come, that it was something that you'd want to do. What pushed you from working for someone else to decided to work for yourself?
Well, I think both of my old employers, who are now my advisors, had done the same thing themselves. Were running their own small company. And I think when they hired me, they saw a little bit of me and, or they saw a little bit of themselves in me. And I think they knew that eventually I was going to be like them. So they, in a lot of ways, they, that's a story that they'd seen before. But in this, you know, they were looking for something, you know, an entrepreneurial spirit, kindred entrepreneurial spirit, where they knew I was going to think like them too, when they weren't there. So I think, you know, they saw that in me. It was a tendency I've always had, you know, starting lemonade stands when I was younger, and went up with my good friend to, you know, starting bands. I had a band in high school and a band in college. We even played in Chapel Hill, Brett. You know, I was always starting something and organizing people, and I was an entrepreneur at that time, but didn't really understand what that meant until I got into real estate, and I sort of was able to say, hey, I was sort of able to identify that within myself and find the right people, and I was very lucky to find the right people. I was introduced to my old bosses through a roundabout process of, I actually went to a banker to ask who he had given construction loans to find developers who might be hiring, which he gave me a bunch of names. And that was how I found my old employer. But we had actually I'd bought a duplex. That was my first real estate deal. I'd bought a duplex around the corner from where he was working on a project. So he said, why'd you choose this neighborhood? We got into we had a meeting. It was supposed to be a 30-minute coffee meeting, and we were there for 3 hours. So he actually gave me a ride to my next meeting after that. So it's sort of, we clicked right away. I can't remember what your original question was. I think I got off on a tangent there, but hope it was answered.
Yeah, I was just curious about how you decided to do your own thing. So, well, let's talk a little bit more about your decision to pursue an MBA. So you mentioned one of your former bosses said this is maybe the best decision that you've made, coming to Darden, pursuing an MBA. Was it something you knew you always were going to do, or was it something that you came to relatively recently?
So it was something I'd thought about, starting with, you know, trying to find a real estate job in DC where I could be a financial analyst. And people were telling me, you don't have the skills, you don't have the education necessary. I was told that by a lot of people. And eventually the way that I got around that was I read a finance textbook and took a financial modeling class and, you know, put it all together and was eventually able to convince someone, I think off sheer luck, and someone quit actually from their company. So they gave me a job. So, you know, the timing was right. But I always thought, you know, hey, I need to go back and with a new focus, get some skills. And I wasn't sure how exactly I would do that. And at one point I talked to a guy who told me, oh, you can spend $150,000 on an MBA, or you can get 150 cups of coffee with the right people and learn the same thing. And I think that's like some of the worst advice I've ever heard and doesn't really make any sense. You're not gonna learn the same type of things that I've had the opportunity to learn in the MBA over a cup of coffee, even a targeted cup of coffee. Like, there might be less than 1% of people out there who could maybe do that, but it's going to take you a lot more than 2 years. And it's an unrealistic and piece of bad advice that I got. But I did get other good advice from another entrepreneur who's also a Darden graduate. A guy named Jimmy Barter. He runs a company called Weston Capital out of DC. And he's another real estate guy. And I met him early on in my career, and he encouraged me to be an entrepreneur as well. But he told me that Darden was the single most important thing that he had done for his business. And to talk about some specifics with that, he said it helped incredibly with fundraising for his company. People, a Darden degree means something to people. When they are, when they're choosing who to invest their money with, you know, you have a Darden degree, that means something to them. You paid the price. You've worked through the process. You really have developed those skills, and it builds up a level of trust. And Darden doesn't let in just anyone. So you're vetted. It's an important thing in that aspect. So it gives you a big stamp of approval. And it really just makes you better at executing. You know, if you're on a basketball team in high school and you get a special invite to the elite camp, it's going to be all summer. You're going to have to give up your summer break. You're not going to be out there playing golf with your friends and stuff. You know, are you going to go and do that elite camp for your ability and for the betterment of your team? Or are you going to take the summer off? You know, it's sort of, you know, it shows, I think, initiative. It shows that you're willing to pay the price to get to that level. And, you know, I think it brings a degree of respect from other people. I guess you wouldn't choose, you might not choose a MBA to write a thesis on Russian history, but you might not choose a Russian history thesis to manage your money. So, you know, it's a specific degree for running a company. And I think it means a lot. So that was a meaningful conversation with me, with Jimmy. And I think he's a great representative and he's been extremely successful. And I think Darden is underrated for entrepreneurship because I know a lot of Darden entrepreneurs, especially in the real estate space, who have done extremely well. And that was definitely a big one for me.
So having that personal connection, knowing people who have done what you wanted to do, you come from Darden and been successful. So you come to Darden, you're in the executive MBA program. Were there any learning curves for you? Any adjustments?
Oh, the whole thing was a huge adjustment. I was starting my own company and starting Darden, which was very intentional. I knew the timing and I thought it would be a good thing because I'd have I created my own structure. So I thought that I could structure things a little bit better with Darden. So that actually probably helped me in terms of time management. But I think there's definitely an adjustment with time management and prioritization. And I think prioritization is one of the hardest things in running your own company, especially when, you know, there's other things besides business that you have to do with your time, you know, whether it's looking after your health or maintaining your spirituality or, you know, making sure your other important relationships, your family or friends, you know, making sure you attend to those in the right way, and not getting too sucked in. And it's so hard to manage. And then you got to throw an MBA on top of that. But I think it really challenges you and you grow from that. You know, you don't grow from, you know, watching Netflix on Wednesday night, but when, you know, I don't have any kids. Some of my classmates have kids, you know, when you got to make those hard choices and prioritize your time, I mean, that's where real growth, that's real personal growth right there. So I think it's a challenge. And it's something that anyone will grow from in terms of just managing your time and being more efficient with things, but more effective with people. You know, it's impossible really to be efficient with people because they just are different than things. But, you know, you gotta learn that balance. And I think throwing an MBA in there will help you. You know, even after those 2 years, you know, you've thrown that in there and you've had that challenge. So it makes the other challenges easier and you can approach them with more confidence.
How do you feel like your Darden experience has helped you with running your business? Do you feel like it's had an impact for you you've gotten everything off the ground?
Oh yeah. No. So the Darden experience, and I wrote down some notes here, so I'm looking for them, just on some things that, some really specific circumstances in which Darden directed, because right from the beginning, just the way that I was structuring my presentations changed immediately. And, you know, there have been different creative ideas for financing and different ways to structure things that have gone directly into my projects. Working contracts differently, writing them differently. My whole organization, just the way that it's structured, is different as a result of Darden. Innovating my processes. I was taking Operations 2 class, and we were talking about integrating our processes, and I had a leasing process that wouldn't have even known to label as a process before, and all the steps. I wrote down all the steps, and I reorganized my process. And to do a Section 8 government subsidized lease, there was this process that was taking me 3 or 4 weeks of just, it was taking up so much time. And I really took a look at that process and applied the concepts from operations, and I was able to cut about 3/4 of the time off that. And how much of a time savings that is, and how many hours that is, and depending on how you value your time, there's real dollars you can tie to that. So I would say that the real dollars, if I really did a solid accounting, I think the MBA has probably already paid for itself. From my business perspective, I'll talk about another specific example, negotiations class. It's an elective class. I went into a negotiation with a contractor, and I took the negotiations preparation sheet, which you're supposed to fill out before our in-class simulations. But instead of using it for the simulation, I took the sheet and I prepared it for the negotiation with the contractor. And, you know, you have a target price and a reservation price and all these things that you're supposed to prepare and think through your, what's called a BATNA, your best alternative to a negotiated agreement. And then you've got to think through the other sides, how they're thinking. And I literally, the preparation process and thinking through all that, it's almost as if it has like a magical, mystical effect on the negotiation. Because the other side, they don't do that. Even on high levels of business, if they're not consciously thinking about it, they're not thinking through all those things, and they're really caught off guard. And in this case, the other side, they didn't really even fight. They just sort of, they could sense the preparation and sort of folded in a way. And that directly saved me a lot of money right there. So, you know, there's, when you talk about what's the impact, has it had an impact? Yes, it's had a huge impact. And it's a direct impact, you know, it's a measurable impact for me. I could do an accounting of it, you know, there's probably a cost to that, but, you know, it's been really interesting, and it's something that I'm really grateful to have had during, I think this is almost the best time for me to have possibly done this. Right as I'm starting my business, because, you know, people who start businesses make mistakes. Entrepreneurs try to have this aura about them or whatever, or this sort of swagger. You know, they're just people. We're making mistakes. We're grinding it out. And, you know, to have that advice and have the faculty as basically a team of consultants that's free, you know, I've talked about negotiations, but I've been working with Allison a lot. There's a negotiation I'm having over a building in D.C. So there's this interesting legislation in D.C. called the Tenant Opportunity to Purchase Act, which gives tenants the right of first refusal on a contract. So I had a building under contract, and the tenants have a right of first refusal, and they can assign that contract to another developer. So a nonprofit developer got involved, and we were arguing and trying to persuade the tenants to be on our side. And it was such a complex negotiation. And I was able to, I was sort of unsure of what to do and how to strategize. So I sat down with Allison. I put together a big, I think it was a 4 or 5 page document. And we read it together and went over it and came up with a strategy that I think is working and was unique. And, you know, I'm really grateful to have smart people that I can go to that, and they're, you know, maybe I shouldn't be saying this because Allison's going to, her inbox is going to blow up, but, you know, they're extremely helpful and they're really willing to help and to work with you. And I also got a, recently got another great piece of advice from Raj, who's the marketing professor, who, you know, I was talking to him about some struggles that I've had communicating, because I've got what I think are fantastic deals, way above market returns for investors. And a lot of times people who are investing in deals that are smaller scale like mine are not as sophisticated investors. So the numbers, they don't really know, or, you know, they don't have the alternatives to compare. So it's less clear to them. And I'm, you know, sort of saying, Raj, how do I reach my customer? You know, how do I change this presentation to make it more effective? And he says, oh, you need to show how you've limited the risk and highlight that. And I sort of went from, so now I've changed my presentation from a typical real estate package to a, you know, here's what I've done to protect your money, which I think has been more effective when talking to the doctor, to the dentist, to the people who are investing in these real estate projects, but aren't sophisticated finance people looking through the numbers or aren't used to looking at real estate. So it's all, you know, looking at your customer and understanding, but also having smart professors to help point out where you might be missing something. And, you know, I've been grateful and extremely lucky to have people to reach out to and really help me get my business off the ground.
Have your classmates been helpful to you? I also think of that as another pool of experts, another resource that's available to students here.
Oh yeah. So I've had classmates actually invest in my projects. So they've been helpful in terms of learning from each other. You know, my learning team is fantastic. I'm close with them. A great group of people. And then I've, you know, some friends who are also interested in real estate, and going through my presentation with some of them and hearing their feedback has been helpful. And then, you know, to the extent that some of them have worked with me and invested in my deals and how meaningful that was for me. And man, I mean, I think, you know, I'm not going to share any names, but I think those people who did invest in those deals, and the one that this was my first deal that they invested in, and it's been really successful. But being able to get that thing stabilized and leased up and working so hard for that and being able to come in on a Friday for on grounds and, you know, saying, hey man, I just leased up that final unit. You know, that felt so good. You know, just to be able to do that, and the relationship there, it grows and is strong. And I've really enjoyed my classmates, and, you know, they've been helpful. The faculty's been helpful. I mean, really everything has helped. And the information, obviously, you know, I don't want to downplay that, because, you know, there's things, as I said earlier, you don't learn it over a cup of coffee. I mean, you're not going to learn the algorithms that you learn in DA2 and how to run the Excel and the decision analysis. So actually, and I'll speak to that a little more, I actually changed my first deal completely on a decision analysis, decision tree, using precision tree in Excel that I was learning. I just said, hey, I'm just going to apply this to this project. And I was sitting there running the calculations, doing the numbers. And I said, hey, look, you know, the risk adjusted value to the investors is better if I change this project completely. So I changed it from a condo project to a rehab renovation project using government subsidies. And the risk was just much lower. The time frame was much quicker. And, you know, I was able to, that's another example of just direct application of, hey, look, now that I have this tool that I've used, it's directly affected the success of my very first project, which is always the most important one. So, you know, there's those tools, you're not going to learn them over coffee. There's such a value to to having that. And some of it's complex, and you're just, it's been extremely helpful.
Well, Colin, I'm curious what you're looking forward to in the months ahead. I recognize that we're having this conversation. You're entering, that's hard to believe, but quarter eight of the program. The end is near. You're just a few quarters away from completing everything. LR2 will be here before you know it, the second leadership residency down in Charlottesville. So what are you looking forward to?
Oh, man. I'm looking forward to the content of my next few courses. I mean, I know that May seems so close, but I'm focused on the next semester. I know the big picture's there, but hey, look, I want to get everything out of this that I can, because there's a lot to get. I've got a bunch of great classes coming up. Strategy, I'm actually really looking forward to. Of this week, I've had an off this week because a lot of people are traveling. Some of my classmates are in Germany. I've seen their pictures, but I have off this week. So I've taken the time. I'm looking at my syllabuses. I've started doing some of the reading because I'm excited for those next courses. So that's really what I'm most focused on. But you may not know this. Yesterday was my birthday, and I was at dinner with my girlfriend, and she said, you know, what are you looking forward to in the next year? And one of the things was, you know, hey, I'm going to have graduated. I'm going to have that MBA. I'm going to go down to Charlottesville. I love Charlottesville, being a double who. But the work that gets put into it, and the effort and the experience, you know, it's priceless. And some of the things that it's allowed me to do, and then, you know, just to have paid that price and earned that degree, I think it's just going to be a great experience. So I'm really looking forward to that.
Well, it's always a great day for all of our students, residential students to the full-time program, and of course the executive MBA students all together there at graduation. You know, all the late nights and long weekends and everything that has gone into earning that degree. So that is a great day. It's always a fun day to be there as a staff member on the outside of the experience, right? But you know, for us as admissions folks, get to see people who you recruited to the program and kind of knew them when they were kind of thinking through this. And you remember all those conversations, and then you see them there and they're walking across the stage, accepting the degree, obviously celebrating with family and friends. It's an incredible time.
Yeah, so that's funny, because I remember we had that plus one event at the hotel. You know, everybody was there with their either, you know, wives or significant others or husbands, and everybody was there together. And I ran into Catherine Alford, and she reminded me actually of, you know, what really sold me on Darden was I came in to class one day for my visit, and I had been working with Ernie, my old boss. We were trying to revamp our marketing process for our consult. We did a development consulting, you know, business line where we were trying to advertise that. We were trying to learn, you know, should we use Google Ads? And I came in and sat in the marketing class that day, and they were talking about how to bid on Google Ads and, you know, how the algorithm works and, you know, the pricing of it and whether it's worth it and how it targets things. So it was so practical. And I'll also mention, you know, so I just thought it was funny to see Catherine again and have her remind me of that, here a year and a half later, 2 years later from when that actually happened. But I enjoyed that. I'm grateful to you too, Brett, because, you know, you were a big part of helping me get into the program and think it through, and we're there as a resource. So, I'm looking forward to seeing you there too. So,
well, absolutely. And I think one of the things you've done a great job highlighting here is what you're learning in class. It's not abstract, right? It's not that, you know, these are things that you can directly take and apply in life. In your work life, I mean, you do a lot of thinking about who you are and who you want to be and how others perceive you, and developing that kind of self-awareness and your sense of your strengths and blind spots. that all happens in this program. But I think because the way that students learn, right, this case method, it's discussion-based, you're kind of focused on the decision. It helps you kind of see how all these things can be applied, how you can use it because you're actually practicing application in the classroom. So Colin, it's been great talking with you. Congratulations on everything that's going on with your business, and congratulations on being the second year student in the program. And appreciate your coming here on the podcast and sharing your experience and perspective with our listeners.
Yeah, thanks. I was ecstatic to be able to come on and share, because I'm grateful, and it's been such a positive experience for me, and just so crucial for really setting up and growing my business. And I credit the MBA for a lot of my success thus far. So thanks for having me on.
And that was my interview with Colin Thomas, a second year student in our executive MBA class of 2022. As always, if you have any comments, suggestions, requests, anything you'd like for us to cover here on the podcast, we're all ears. We can be reached at exec, that's EXEC, MBA at darden.virginia.edu. Until next time, stay safe, be well, and thanks for listening.